This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
El Capitan Vladimir Camaño, we talking today, man. We getting vulnerable. We talking about that funk. Please tune in. Your boy Ali, Damien, and Vlad in the conversation.
It's time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damien Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! Okay, this is In the Conversation. We are back. This is Damien Lemon. And as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
El Capitán, el Alcalde, el Profesor, el Martillo. Vladimir Camaño.
Okay. Motherfuckers, y'all be working on your drops on the off time.
He done gained a couple since he been back from the West.
On the left-hand side, I got...
Oh, you know it's the voice of your choice right here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ali Muhammad.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
What's cracking, fellas?
It's summertime.
So true.
Yeah, very, very much so. Real smoothie smooth.
Neo jazz in there, Ali. I love
it. No, that wasn't neo jazz at all.
What's that?
I don't know. That's cool, motherfucker, in the summertime.
I hear that shit. Cookout cool.
You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious. That's just chill. Summer of love.
Shit, how y'all been? How's the summer
week
going?
We good, man. I'm happy to be here, fellas. But, you know, but highlight of my week.
Highlight of my week
to be here with the fellas.
What you guys get into? You do anything this week? What you been up to?
I did an event last night with Soledad O'Brien, which was really fantastic.
Okay.
It was called I'm Latino in America. It was a conversation about Latino participation in public policy.
Okay.
Voting, you know. And they had me on there as one of the newsmakers. Making some news, dude.
Making some news.
You know
news.
What I mean? Yeah. Making some of that news.
Hey, shit. Diario? Is that the man?
Oh, man.
I'm sad. Was that like a Latin? That's a Spanish newspaper?
I'm trying to make news all over the place. Man.
Oh,
why I gotta be the one Spanish?
It was hashtag I am Latino. I'm thinking we had to celebrate the Latino news outlet first.
I'm saying, though. Why are you looking down?
Yeah,
on
right.
Saying, like,
you don't want to be in
Diario. Why gotta be the usual suspect? Oh, you making that Diario?
You was talking about that, Latino news.
That means you are official. If I make the Ebony.
Yeah.
That's a fish.
That is a stamp.
Well, you know, I did make the Diario a couple months ago.
All right. Oh,
okay. I've been there. My father woke up.
Look at that.
And my uncle called me. It was a big to-do in the Dominican Republic.
I'm sure it is.
That's when you official. When you make your
local paper.
You know what I'm saying? Your ethnic. You know
like
what I'm saying?
Ethnic.
You know what I'm saying? Ethnic.
Ethnic.
They put some respect on your name.
That's your base.
Put some respect on my name.
That's the people that ain't gonna never
let you down. That's home team.
Put some respect on my name.
That's the ones you don't leave.
You were talking about voting and what else?
So I did a
newsmaker.
Did 5 minutes of stand up.
Okay.
And it was at El Museo del Barrio.
Okay.
What's that, man?
It's a cultural museum in.
What did you say?
Oh, no, so...
Museum of the Neighborhood.
The Museum of the Neighborhood. El Barrio is like the neighborhood, the community.
All right, say it again.
El Museo del Barrio.
Okay, great. Got it.
And good point, Ali, though. You're right. I can't just assume. I said it like people know what
I'm
talking about.
Give even the people some context as to who Soledad O'Brien is. Some people
Soledad
might not
O'Brien
know.
Soledad O'Brien is an award-winning journalist. She has her own production company called Starfish Media.
Oh, shit.
She's done all the productions like I'm Latino in America for CNN.
Starfish and Coffee.
Starfish.
You know that record?
No, what is
that's
that?
Prince.
That's an old Prince record.
Happy birthday to the Prince Rogers Nelson.
Maple syrup and drink. I think of side order of ham.
Is that
if
really what
you
that
let
that
your mind free, baby.
I really believe that deep inside has a closet R&B singer that wants to come out.
But Prince had the funk. See, that's the difference between just R&B and Prince.
I was talking to my homegirl today, Yvette Bowser. She's worked on Living Single.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's a legend.
And we've been chopping it up. Shout out to her, man. She's great. She's a great person.
Say her like she was from around the way.
Well, we've been hanging, man. We've been talking.
Okay.
And she's my peoples. And we had a conversation today about the funk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funk.
And she was saying every piece of work you do has to have the funk in it.
Okay.
If you got the funk in you.
Got the funk in it.
The feeling.
If you got it in you, nah.
You know. Yeah. Keep going.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have the funk in you.
What do you mean? Keep going on.
Elaborate, bro. You can't make the funk up.
Yeah, funk got to be what?
Real. The funk got to be in you.
Can't be contrived funk.
No, huh? You got to be vulnerable.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely got to be vulnerable.
You
got
to have soul.
Ooh. But wait a minute, though. I like what you said. Keep talking.
I like what you're saying. Keep
talking, because I got some shit with that.
Go ahead,
Ali. Nah, finish your story,
well,
man.
Yeah, here's what happened. And I hate to be vulgar, but I remember listening to a Cornel West speech.
And we're going to get right back to Solar Dad.
No, we will.
So
we will.
I thought that's what we were talking about.
We will. We will. But Cornel West had a speech where he says, anytime you think you're high and mighty, and again, it sounds vulgar, but I get what he was saying. He said that everyone is born between urine and feces. So everyone has funk.
All right.
Yeah, said, that's a different kind of funk.
Yeah, but it's like we're all born from the, you know.
Funk, yes.
So you know, Vietnam, we're talking about that. Everyone has to have, you have to have that funk in it, which is why Prince was so good, mm-hmm. which is why James Brown was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Every artist has, you got what your unique, Richard Pryor had it. You know, you have your own signature level of funk in it,
mm-hmm.
and that's your signature.
And that's what Yvette Lee Bowser told you.
Because I'm working on a project now, and I picked her brain about it. I'm pitching another idea, mm-hmm. and she said it's great, but you know, we need to add a little bit more funk in here. Yeah.
Some funk.
Yeah, some funk in this.
So funk is the soul, but then there's also, you said, who said something about the vulnerability?
She and I said that in conversation.
Vulnerability. Yeah. And listen, I'm reading this book, right?
Uh-huh. What's the book?
Let me tell you
what's
something. When I'm reading the book, I get excited. I start to watch the book.
Black Man Reads.
Black Man
Hashtag.
Reads. It's called Show Your Work by Austin Kleon.
And he got the book right here, y'all.
I got the book for you.
You remember Brother Muzone in The Wire?
I remember him.
When they asked him, what's the most dangerous thing in America?
What'd he say?
A black man with a library card.
Hey, man. Shit.
D got a personal library. Yeah.
D still goes to the library.
I do.
Yeah, D still goes to the library.
And you should, too.
Exactly.
You people that are listening, the library is still open. That shit is still free and available. Those are your tax dollars at work, motherfucker. Go check it out.
I've been in D's crib, and he has actual books from the library, and I think it's amazing.
Spend some time, but I will go. There's no shame in my game.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to tell y'all need to take advantage of that shit. But
so,
anyway,
one more time, the name of the book?
The name of the book is called Show Your Work. It's by Austin Kleon. Now, listen, he's quoting a writer, Colin Marshall, says, compulsive avoidance of embarrassment is a form of suicide.
Ooh.
If you spend your life avoiding vulnerability, you and your work will never truly connect with other people.
Mm.
What
and
was
he slammed the book on that note.
That was Muhammad.
What was the first line? Compulsive avoidance
of embarrassment.
Will
bring about suicide. If you didn't get it, you gotta rewind.
You
was at the table.
No, I think this connects elegantly to you know, sad to say, but the passing of Ali. I think this connects right with it.
Let's see, because it sounds like a stretch. Let's go with
in that you live your life.
Ali died.
But you live your life in a way that you don't care about embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
Now you put yourself out there. You're vulnerable.
Right.
This is my vision. This is what I believe in.
Okay.
And I'm gonna fight for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I think that's why Ali was special to me. I know everyone has their own unique individual experience,
mm-hmm.
but that's why he was special to me. And I wasn't even born during the time he was fighting, but you know.
Right.
My dad talked about him. My father's a Dominican dude,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about Ali.
You know what? That's interesting too, which I think there's a good point about that is like when you're not of that generation, right? It's either sometimes it's going to resonate with you or it's not going to resonate with you. But if you can't look to see that person doing what they're known for in that moment, and you just get the context, you get the story, it's kind of almost like they distill the funk, as you call it, mm-hmm. for you. Like, they're like, oh, no, I'll explain why this person means something. And they're going to give you the red, like, they're going to speak from their heart, and mm-hmm. it's gonna be presented in a way that's so poignant,
right.
or so, like, so these people are so affected that you can't, it can't help but affect you.
Absolutely.
Even though you didn't live through it, they just gave you the cutoff. Nah, this is why. Look at that.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, so that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and then his legacy just did never stop. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking from wearing his name, you know what I'm saying, all my life. You know what I'm saying? So it's stuff that's put on you that's come from him that, you know what I'm saying, that I had no idea. You know, you go to first grade and, you know what I'm saying, they call in roll call and the teacher – every time they get to your name, they go,
yeah. Ali, excuse my ignorance.
And you know when it's your name because it's a long-ass pause and, right. and a look around.
Right.
Like, who is this one?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, depending on the teacher
mm-hmm.
or, the background of the teacher, depending on which side they throw on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if it's, you know what I'm saying, a black male teacher, He's like, oh boy, you got a lot to live up to.
Right, right, right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? I know hilarious. You ain't gonna be messing around mm-hmm. in here. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
That's a big name.
Uh-huh.
And if it's you know what I'm saying, little did I know that Miss Rosenberg had a beef. You know what I'm saying? That's the first D I ever got in life was Miss Rosenberg.
Dang. She had beef with you or your name?
You know what I'm saying? I had no idea that it was a Jewish Muslim thing going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm black in America.
Yeah.
I had no idea until my pops had to come to school and, you know what I'm saying, go at it with Miss Rosenberg.
Not with the Mac 10 bag.
Nah, nah, okay. Not with the Mac. That was with his intellect. You know what I'm saying? He had both.
A different weapon.
Trusty Mac 10.
Mac 10 bag.
Nah, my pops had two approaches now. Okay. He had a bag full of knowledge.
Okay, cool.
And he had a bag full of Mac 10s.
And big words.
He had some clips of that mental.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He couldn't wait to show off his words now. There God
you
damn.
Go. There Ali, you go. When did you have the conversation that you were named after, you know,
I mean, pretty much from the rip, because, you know, Ali was, you know, doing his thing. I'm not sure if that was during the time of his, you know, why he was, you know, a conscientious objector or not. But he lived in Miami. So, you know what I'm saying? He trained in Miami and he was very present in Miami. So, you know, he was around. You know, he would come to the masjid. So you would see him. He was around. So, you know what I'm saying? So you always, I felt like I always knew.
Oh, would you see him? Have you ever met him in person?
Yeah, I met him a few times.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you actually met
you
Ali?
That shit real chill. Like, everybody met Ali a few times.
He would be at the masjid that I went to, which is, really? You know, the church, the center, the, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
The place of worship.
You serious?
Let's talk, man.
He actually kissed my little sister. Like, it was at a wedding. Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, look at this baby. And picked uh-huh. up and took her up front. Right. You know what I'm saying? So she got that story.
Uh-huh.
But, I met him then. That was the first time I met him.
What'd he say when who, your father, your mother, whoever introduced you, said, this is Ali Muhammad?
I don't know if it ever went that far. You know, it'll never be.
You didn't say it? Like, you know, I'm Ali.
You know, when Muhammad Ali's around, it's always a scene. Shit. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like, you know, you having a one-on-one. I ain't have no one-on-one.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, like, it's a scene and all that. But you are named after that man. So did you feel any way?
It's hilarious.
No, like,
hey, Michael Jordan. This is Michael Jordan.
You know what I mean? But imagine if you a young kid and you been told, listen, you named after this guy. You named it, and the guy is in the, and you gonna let him know, yo, I'm holding it down.
I'm holding
fam.
It down for you, fam. Legacy. Nah, legacy. Repeat after me. Legacy.
Exactly.
This shit used to be too much of a scene. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anytime he around,
it's a big deal.
There's kids hanging off his shoulders. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know what I'm saying? It's just a circle.
Yeah.
You just a moving mob. And then, you know, I met him again. I was, I guess, about ninth grade. We know how you do the little fake boxing with the kids.
Yeah, he's known for that. That shadow boxing, yeah.
Yeah, he did that with me at the Muslim farm in Georgia. We went up there for that. Uh-huh. And he was there. That's trying true. To, you know what I'm saying? They was trying to sell an idea of move to the country and farm your own land and, you know what I'm saying?
What part of Georgia is this?
It's in Brownwood, Georgia.
Is this, this isn't where, you know, is it, what's my man? Dr. York got something down there, too. Is
nah,
that
nah,
anything
the same
around?
Place. No, I don't think it's the same place. Okay. But
never know.
But my mom actually moved not on the Muslim farm, but right next to it. And she the guy that she married, he was managed the whole farm. And mm-hmm. I would go up there in the summers, and the dude, he patented bean pie base, because on the farm they had a cannon factory.
Cannonballs?
Not canning, like.
Oh,
like
canning.
Cannons.
Like Navy beans.
Yeah, because that's what bean pies are made
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
So
basically, it takes 2 days to make a bean pie, right?
Really?
Yeah, because you got to soak the beans.
Okay,
get them soft.
Get them break down.
Yeah,
right.
then you can go ahead and make them. So basically, he took the formula, broke it down, and then put it in the can.
Okay.
And then, so it was just interesting to me, because we would be in the canning factory, canning that stuff up, and then go to sell it, like, to the grocery stores and all. I mean, it was just, the hustle was real. Like, you know.
This nigga got a life.
You got a life, Ali.
Used to work in the Muslim farm, canning bean pies.
Yeah, man.
Met Muhammad Ali a couple times. I like this shit. I like it too.
Yeah, so am I.
This guy
beef with Peter Dinklage. I mean, this dude is.
Exactly.
You know?
But let's get back to some of
that. I got a couple more questions, though.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm with my dad, right? This I know is a special, interesting moment. My dad picks me up from the airport.
Yeah.
And we driving. We talking. Then all of a sudden he gets quiet. And I look to him and he goes, Gordon, you. Se murió Ali. He said, at least dead. He was emotional about this.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. It hit him.
I was like, Pop, you okay? He was like, they don't make them like that no more, son.
They don't.
That's what my father said to me.
Yeah.
Nah, they don't.
You know what I mean? And this is a dude living in the basement of the South Bronx.
He
was inspired by this dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
damn.
Yeah, my father, you know, he was, so that to me was why he was a special person, man. He really was.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Back to Soledad. We're going
to Soledad, wait, Ali, I forgot to ask you though. When you found out the news about Ali, what was that moment like for you?
I mean, you know, when you see a person decline
for a while,
for such a long time, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, you almost expect it, you know what I'm saying? Like, one day that it's going, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, after you can't talk that much no more, like, after seeing him, you know, doing all the talking and, you know what I'm saying, having so much life, and then, you know, it boils down to just shaking, you know what I'm saying? You almost like, damn.
It's almost
gonna
like,
it's going to be soon. Every time you see it, like, damn, it's going to be soon.
Damn.
But then, you know, when it happens. But, you know, in light of that, you know what I'm saying, with, you know, Prince dying, Prince pretty much died young.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the people that you do have here that's actually getting older, they not necessarily frail or, you know what I'm saying, in decline, in a constant state of decline like that. It's kind of like you want to, you know, you got to appreciate them now while they're here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Take a selfie with a friend.
You know, or, you know, just.
Dead ass. You know what I mean? Hashtag still here.
Still here.
You never know.
Living.
Take a selfie with a friend.
You know what I mean? Living.
Just in case. Listen, life is for the living. But no, keep going.
Nah,
keep
and
going.
I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, it's kind of like that. It more hit me like, damn. You know what I'm saying? I need to reach out to certain people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And make sure that, you know, I get those words in while they're here.
I did it last night, man. So I did the event for Soledad O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And in the audience was Willie Colon.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And Willie was in it. Speaking to your point, Ali, Willie's a legend in the Latino community.
Right.
He's a legend. Mm-hmm. Dude's a genius.
Yeah.
And I made it a point. I looked at him. I was like, Willie, I was doing my 5 minutes of stand-up. I said, dude, thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to perform for you. And thank you for coming. And it meant something to me, because you're right, because you get the chance to say to that person, hey,
yeah,
you did something for my life, and thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with that, man.
Now that shit is real.
Yeah, man. Because it was like, you know what I'm saying, just a couple of times, man, where my wife would be like, you should call such and such. You'd be like, oh, I call him.
Right.
And then she said a couple weeks ago,
and they died.
She was like, "Yo, you should call Dr. Brian." I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna call him right now." And then I looked at my phone; I didn't have his number. I'm like, "Oh man!" So I started looking it up, because I know he was old school. He was like a in the white pages type of person.
Oh man,
right. You know what I'm saying? So I looked up his number, and when I did the Google, it was like, you know what I'm saying, he had died.
Oh man,
like 3-4 months ago.
Oh shit!
I'm like, this.
Who was this?
It's Dr. Bryant. Dr. Bryant, when I first came to New York, he was the president of the FAMU Alumni Association in New York. So when I was looking for a job, he was helping me look for a job, you know what I'm saying? When his wife owned a building in Harlem that, you know what I'm saying, I was going to rent an apartment from, but I ended up going with my girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying, it was just good people, you know what I'm saying? He invites you to the house,
right.
You know what I'm saying? He was the one who told me to buy a house.
Mm.
Like, yo, buy a house and buy one. Buy one big enough to grow in.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Smart.
He's like, buy one big enough to grow in.
Right.
And that's what I did. And
especially when your wife tell you too, you know, you should call.
Yeah.
Stop being ungrateful and give that man a call.
And I hadn't talked to him in maybe about a year. So it was like, dang.
Damn.
Did you call the family? Like, hey, you know, I'm sorry for the loss now.
I ain't really know them like that. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? I'm weird. It's like, you know. Well, I didn't know. I mean, I've met his wife, but I didn't really know her. I knew him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I talked to him all the time. So it's kind of, it's kind of weird, like, you know what I'm saying, being the strange dude. Like, hey, remember me? I'm such and such.
Yeah, it's but like, it's true.
Like,
but,
where your ass been?
where your ass? Like, you could have done anything. And, like,
where's your ass?
And it's only, real talk though, it's only as weird as we make it.
I know. And I,
you know what I mean?
And like, I made it weird, and I got to find her number.
Right.
It's like, oh, man.
It's all good, man. You figure it out. But shout out to
him. Who is this? Who? Who is this?
I'm sure there's a lot of those calls, because if he was really
as Ali said, somebody that was like, you know, impactful and giving right. people wisdom. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a bunch of calls pouring in. That's what happens when people die that really affected people. Mm-hmm. The people that were close to them that didn't know, they'd be like, listen, I just want to let you know, like, you know, this person here meant a lot to me. And I mean, I never met you, but he spoke so highly of you or blase, whatever. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, the good spirit that person showed me, I'd be remiss not to let you know what a great person he was. Right. You know what I mean? Just to give you my own testimonial or whatever.
You got this down pat.
I'm good right now on the podcast.
You sound great.
You got wisdom.
But I thought we all...
Hashtag motivational Mondays.
Nah, man. But I do feel that. I do feel like the shit is only as awkward, as weird as we make it. You know what I mean? It's it's us putting all that energy on it. And more often than not, it ain't nothing but a phone call. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't nothing but a phone call.
Well, we anticipate the rejection.
We not anticipate, rejection. Or just the awkward,
which may not even happen.
It might not. Because,
it might not.
Yeah, because you got to realize, especially when we dealing with older people, these people have been there a little longer than us.
Absolutely. Right.
And they cool. They know how to receive it. And they kind of been through a lot of shit. So old people know how to keep it moving. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Blah, they'll have you off the phone in 6 minutes.
Shorter than
you don't even got no time to get off it with. All right, baby. Well, thank you so much.
I'm making it.
You
suit.
Be blessed. Good night.
You should have called while he was here.
Nigga!
You are blessed and highly favored.
Hilarious, man. So, we wrapped on Soledad?
Well, no, so Soledad, first of all, she has 4 kids.
Okay.
And I made it a point to tell her on stage, I was like, you looking good for 4 kids.
And her husband was right there to punch her ass in the nose. Wah-blah!
No, and the crowd started laughing. But I was honest. I was like, ooh, 4 kids. You know, it was a joke.
This man went from shy guy to
the creep. He's an aggressive.
I'm gonna tell you something.
I'm gonna tell you why. tell you something.
Why your body still looks salvageable to me?
Salvageable.
I'm just saying.
Is it a used car?
I'm just saying. No,
you look like
body.
You got a good transmission.
Four babies in.
Yeah, 4 babies. You still look desirable.
Woo! You look juicy.
Willie, do you see this, Willie?
Uncle Woo. Vlad.
Girl.
No, so you told her that.
And she drank some of that bath water.
Oh, man. How was it? How was the conversation?
The conversation was great. We talked about you know, my career, comedy, and she talked about participation, Latino voting. We had a conversation about education.
Right.
We had poetry on. It was a great night, man. It was a fantastic night. And I met Rosie Perez.
Oh, that's nice. Official.
And she's great, sweetheart. We have the same agent.
Oh, shit.
And
shit.
She was dope.
Are you in the Latino Illuminati now, Vlad?
I don't
You know Juno. You know
he
Rosie.
Said, yeah. You had to think about that.
Listen, don't tell nobody.
I hope so. I hope I'm in there. I want to be in there. Whatever that is.
Might be in the Latino Illuminati. Let me find out.
I hope so.
Oh, shit.
Give me a call if you're out there. If Illuminati's listening, give your boy a call.
Oh, shit, man.
That's a boy.
That's what's up, man. I went out to, I was at the Onion AV Festival in Chicago.
This is the
weekend.
Onion, the comedy?
This is the Onion, the comedy newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which I did not know, and I don't know if this is public now. I think it is. They're owned by Univision. Speaking of Latino, look at that. Yeah. Ain't that crazy? That's what Univision is like.
Ready?
Wanna, go ahead.
Illuminati.
Look at that. You would have known if you was in the Illuminati.
I didn't know, though.
Or maybe you just playing it cool. Maybe you acting like you didn't know. But, yeah, it was a good time. I was out in Chicago. I had a lot of fun.
And this was with True TV? This was for...
True TV was one of the presenting sponsors. A few other sponsors as well. Lyft and some other people or whatever. But I was out there. I was repping the True TV squad. I was doing some press out there. I was doing, you know, shows and shit out there. It was a good festival. I mean, Tracy Morgan was out there. Michael Che was out there. I featured with Cameron Esposito.
Right.
Who else was out there? Reggie Watts was out there. Sarah Silverman, Todd Barry. Like, it was a dope time. It was cool, you know. It was a good time in white Chicago, as West Manchild would call it. You know, because it was definitely... Well,
you were telling me how separate Chicago feels.
Yeah,
it is. Chicago's very segregated.
Chicago's very segregated, and there's a lot of shit going on the south side of Chicago.
Where were you then? You were like in what part?
I was like in the downtown area, like by downtown. I was
Wabash, what a state, you know, downtown. I don't really know Chicago that well. I was downtown. I was where the shit was safe.
By the Bean, the Silver Bean?
I was by like Millennium Park, okay. I believe that is, by there. Yeah. So, no, it was a great time, but it was just, it's always weird to be someplace, because what I do know about Chicago, what I really started to feel like when we talking about the funk, in the soul, like Chicago's a fucking soulful ass city, yeah, right? First time I really met anybody from Chicago's when I was in college at Clark Atlanta, and it was a lot of people that went from Chicago to Clark Atlanta AUCs. A lot of people from like Whitney Young and you know what I mean, Kenwood, those type. I remember hearing those high schools a lot. Now remember they had their own little style. They used to wear like little like reptile hats with figurines and shit off. Like, it was just some different looking shit that you ain't never seen before. They had their own little, I remember one dude, we was at like a convocation, it looked like some shit was gonna pop off. Somebody took somebody's seat, and the dude was like, "Hey fam, it don't go down like that in the go." It don't go down like that in the go. I just remember that nigga saying that. But it did, because the nigga took his seat and he had to walk away.
That's hilarious.
That's how you be repping the go the way that you ain't really come up.
Yeah, nigga, they stop it. But it was just like a lot of cool cats. I know a lot of cool people from Chicago, you know. So when I was out there, I was actually seeing if some of my people was around, but nobody was around.
That's the worst. Yeah, I'm out here.
Because I kind of wanted to go downtown a little bit. I wanted to go, but you know, again, I'm not going unattended.
I love that.
It's a lot of shit going on.
We here.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Sorry, I'm not. Bob.
Sorry, Bob.
Good luck.
But, yeah, man, I like Chicago a lot.
Good luck.
I like Chicago a lot on the, there's a bunch of shit out there. I mean, you know, it's a lot of shit.
Got a question for you, Dean.
But hold on, let me say this before, let me take that. Well, go ahead,
Ahead and say what you're going to say.
Yeah, say what you're going to say.
One thing I do like about Chicago, that's a bunch of shit, but one thing I really appreciate about Chicago is, as far as comedy is concerned, like, they really, like, nurture their local comedians and local talent. Like, they really fuck with them, like, damn near everybody that's popped from Chicago is like a hometown hero. Right. People come out. Right. You know what I mean? It reminds me of how like Atlanta is with their rappers. You know what I mean? Like they embrace them locally and pump them up and shit like that. And I was really impressed by that. So, you know, shout out to what's going on out there. What's your question?
Question for you. Did you or did you not have some fried chicken?
I did have some fried chicken
no
out
doubt.
There.
Which one?
I went to this place, The Roost. Let me tell you this. But you know, let me keep it 100. I didn't eat a whole lot of bullshit. And that's one thing I do like about Chicago. Chicago got a lot of fucking wild food out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes when I get on my travel, I try to live like Guy Fieri. And I was like, let me relax and not go OD.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But there was this one spot called The Roost that I'd seen on some show, and I bookmarked it on my Yelp, because that's how I'm living now, right? So I bookmarked the shit on my Yelp.
That fat life.
Exactly. I'm out there living, you know, yeah. Take it easy. But we out here wilding.
Roost.
So we went to The Roost, and I had the good old Nashville hot chicken.
Jesus.
Because I'm on a good hot chicken. And I see Chris shaking his head in the affirmative.
No doubt.
Because I haven't had the official Nashville. I've had the KFC version. Now I've had the Chicago version.
I thought it was Memphis, though, that had the king of the hot.
I think it's Nashville.
Let us know, people.
Let us know,
Memphis
Tennessee.
Or Nashville.
Yeah, let us know where the real hot.
I thought it was Memphis style.
I think some spot called Gus. Or maybe it's a spot called White, too.
Gus.
Like, trust me.
The Roost?
The Roost was pretty good, man.
What was the ambiance in there? Was it roosting?
It wasn't much ambiance. Okay. Chicken was official. The chicken was official.
I know you got pictures.
Yeah, but you know, I never post that shit. I know you got pictures.
But the chicken is liberated now, man.
The chicken is, The chicken was, first of all, it was a chicken breast. So I think it's something about.
Now, was that your way? Was that your way of being healthy? Like, let me go with a breast.
No. That's just what they presented. Okay. The Nashville hot chicken on a biscuit. Uh-huh. And I had them put the pickles on there. Because now I'm fucking with pickles on the chicken.
You can tell he loves this.
Since I went out to Dallas. Shout out to, let me make this retraction, because the people have hit me up, and I definitely, immediately after I heard it, I knew I fucked up. Rudy's, the chicken spot we was talking about last week, that's actually in Dallas.
Oh, man.
That is not in Houston.
You see the smile on his face?
I definitely got some people hitting me. Hey, you know, listen, I had one cat, I forget who it was, shout out to my man who hit me up. It was like, listen, Paul, and no disrespect, but I just want you to know that the chicken establishment that you mentioned in the last podcast was actually in Dallas and not in Houston. I was like, true indeed. And then he shouted out another spot that I never heard of, so salute to you on that, too.
No
but long story retraction. Short, so I ate half the biscuit and I waited till the end of the day to eat the rest of the biscuit. But the shit was banana sandwich.
Why'd you wait? Why'd you wait?
Because
you wait. Why'd you
not
wait?
To be a glutton.
That's
man.
What I'm saying.
I'm trying not to be a glutton. You know what I mean? Because
it ain't bad for you if you eat it in segments.
Exactly. If it's lunch and dinner,
and we all right.
You know, so boom. So I had that. I had some peach cobbler with it. It was all right.
I like how it gets progressively worse. I had lemonade.
Nah, let me tell you though, because then I went to the Division Street Festival, which is like a street fan. And these motherfuckers, I had to use Barack Obama levels of self restraint because they had a fried Snickers ball on a stick.
Oh, God.
That I was thinking about just seeing what the fuck it tasted like. The shit is fried in fountain cake dough. And then put in
what?
There. Yeah. So
and you knew this going in.
I abstained. I ain't do it.
Oh, okay.
I ain't do it. I was like, you know what? That's a lot. Let me chill.
Hey man,
I felt proud of myself. For
you
that.
Know I'm fasting, right?
Oh shit!
I forgot.
It's Ramadan.
We're talking about delicious peach cobbler.
I got another 2 hours.
Shit, man. How you doing, man? Talk to me.
Talk about it. Let's go.
It's just day two, man. I'm struggling, man. I did too much last night. Ate too much. You know, when you eat too much. You know
was it too much of one particular thing?
No, just when you eat too much.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to eat till you're satisfied. Then put it down. You know what I'm saying? And as the fasting season goes on, you know what I'm saying, you get it down to a tempo. But, you know, we had company over and, we went overboard. And so when you eat too much that night, it just messes you up the next day.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because then your body be like, hey, I'm on some more of that food. And here we go talking about the chicken.
Yeah, my bad. Well, you asked me. You said, how was the roast?
I didn't know it was going that hard.
Oh, man, you can't ask me no shit like that. And get a...
I didn't even think about it until you started going into specifics.
Yeah,
so I had it on a biscuit with a pickle on it.
And the pickle on it was a peach cobbler.
And they fried a Snickers bar.
I ate half because it was so good.
I ate half and I saved it. Like, I still got it in my bag right now.
I definitely walked the streets of Chicago with half a chicken biscuit on me. I had a good time, man. Shout out to Chicago, man. B. For real. Shout out to the people out there.
I ate it with the feathers and everything.
Oh, man.
That's all good, man.
What else is going on, man? I guess we in the Midwest. Let me just ask you this. This is a quick conversation.
You asking who?
I'm asking both of y'all. I'm asking y'all audience. Listening, too.
Oh, man. Here we go. These randoms questions.
Now, this ain't the random. This is just a regular question.
Okay.
Is it over for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Nah, it ain't over. Seven games, man.
Seven games.
And I'm a conspiracy theorist anyway.
You feel like this is just something to kind of keep it going?
Yeah, NBA ain't going to let it just fall off at four.
Especially, you know why I won't rap them? And that's a good point. Well, I won't rap them, too, because... Let's not forget, Golden State just came back from being down 1-3.
They did.
And it's automatically assumed you're a good team. You're going to take the home court. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're
going to
take
right.
the home court games.
But
it's
I mean,
just, it's just the manner of ass whooping that they dished out.
The manner.
Yeah.
Was, you know what I'm saying, it's depressing. It almost, you know what I'm saying, you're scared to watch the next game.
It's sad. I feel like Golden State even feel bad. They like, damn.
That might be the rope-a-dope.
I hope so. Maybe. Maybe this is an homage to Ali.
I mean, I don't, this is sports, man. Shit. You know, you go out there, sometimes you get your ass whooped. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying not over?
Nah, not over. I'm rooting for Cleveland.
I know you are.
I'm saying I'm rooting for Cleveland.
Not over. I would love to listen in to the conversation that the coach staff is having.
Yeah.
To figure out what is the missing variable that they're not putting in. You know what I'm saying? Cause I feel like Golden State is so gelled together.
Mm-hmm.
They have things that just click so well. I wonder what I want to be a fly on the wall in the Cleveland coaches' room to see how they're structuring the next game.
Chris, where you at with it?
I mean, it can go one of two ways. When you lose a game that badly, you can either
win or lose.
Well, you could just throw it out the window. You go, whatever, we got our ass kicked, and then you focus on the next game, or you're just morally defeated.
Oh, okay. That's gonna be it. Yeah. What you think?
I mean, I got to think Golden State's going to win the whole thing. I don't know how quickly they're going to wrap it up, but
right.
I think it is probably over think at this over. Point. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll see. This is the NBA, man. You know, cats do fight. You know what I'm saying?
They are professionals.
You know what I'm saying? LeBron, you know, he's been known to fight at least, you know what I'm saying? He don't win them all, but he fight.
Oh, my life!
You know what I'm saying?
I've had to fight. Nigga!
He won a couple.
What? What was that last?
That's from the song.
Yeah.
Nigga, that shit, let me tell you, when they play that record without the nigga, it's like it's missing a drum. You know what I mean?
Wait, I'm sorry, what song? I'm lost.
We gonna be all right, the Kendrick.
Oh, okay. Oh, we gonna be all right. Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, I'm hip hop. I don't really.
Yeah, I know you.
So I'm trying though.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I expect professional ball players to get their ass up and fight.
Got it.
I mean, that's what I spend my watching time to see. You know what I'm saying? I waited all season to come in and watch the damn last two rounds of the playoffs.
Make it interesting.
Y'all got to fight.
I'm investing 2 months
shit
into your whole shit, and I need
man.
Play at your best.
Listen, I take it personal. You don't fight.
And this is the time that shows character. Like, you know, if LeBron can step up, and this is where you show leadership and character.
Yeah.
It's funny because Jordan, if I'm correct, Jordan never, my friend Eric told me this, Jordan never went to a game seven in any finals.
No, it's six finals.
Yeah, man, we going to compare everything to Jordan?
You know how that go.
It's just one dude, man.
I'm just saying.
NBA been around for a long, long time.
It's unfair. I mean,
he was one era, one dude. Yes, yeah. we recognize him as the GOAT right now. He's recognized.
Yeah.
He's bona fide. He got the statue.
But that's what comes with being the GOAT. You get that recognition until you ain't the GOAT no more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck it.
Right. I just think there's an opportunity.
He never had a game seven.
This is an opportunity
that's
for
a badass stat, though.
That is a badass stat.
Come on now.
That's a badass stat, but, you know, shit has changed.
LeBron
it's an opportunity for LeBron.
I mean, even if I was a Steph Curry fan, it's like, come on, man, fam. You know, it's changed. It's a different game.
I dig it.
They playing a whole different type of game than Jordan was playing.
This is an opportunity for LeBron. It really is.
Somewhere, we'll see.
If he could pull this out, it's a better victory.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
No doubt.
What's up with you, man? What's going on?
Man, I'm enjoying this summer, man.
Summer of love.
I realize I ain't got shit to wear.
What?
Yeah.
I pulled out my old summer shit. It's like, it ain't hitting no more. It's like, yeah.
Oh, we just know talking about this.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm right there
I
now.
I think I done rode the edge, you know what I'm saying? Pulling out my shorts and shit. I done rode the edge to where I could still wear the mugs, you know what I'm saying?
Let's open the conversation about shorts. Let's talk about these shorts.
Well, let them finish.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so now, you go look at the new shorts and they too short.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then the old shorts too big. Yeah. Or too cargo-y.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotta find a new short.
Like, what you supposed to do, man? What's the new fashion style that ain't, you know what I'm saying? I don't even see the new Jacks rocking those shorts.
Now, I see the cat rocking some shorts today that was official, but it's like a awkward conversation.
Like, what kind of shorts the new Jacks wear?
Yeah, I don't, they looked official. This is the thing. I seen some cool shit that didn't look too John Stockton. Too high above the knee.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they were, I guess, tapered, I guess, a little
okay.
Slimmer than
like
big ass fucking
khaki,
cargo
khaki
shorts.
Type joints.
Or? Now, they was like a camo okay,
yeah,
short.
Yeah, yeah, right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
it was official. But it's definitely a very, a real benign short. You know what I'm saying? Like, your short, it ain't really, it's not the centerpiece.
I guess
you know
the shorts is like the new NBA. They don't play the same.
Nah, they different. They different. The shorts is more about not even function. They just, they interested. I haven't seen any shorts. And let us know what's out there. Who's wearing, like, what's the hot short to wear?
Not a hot short.
Not a hot pant. That's definitely an old
what's
head
hot
reach out. So nah, what they wearing
now? Nah, but for real though, like, you don't do, like, what is the short? If it, you know what I'm saying? If you're not wearing the little tight, you know, chinos or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Today was short weather.
You know what I'm saying?
You yeah, rock shorts?
It's been a, you know, D and Ali and I were talking about this before the podcast started. It's, you know, when you're vulnerable.
Okay.
I have this conversation. Shorts, it's a tough conversation for dudes, man.
Why?
Because you don't want them to be too tight. Like you said, can't be above the knees. Like, the short is very particular. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of little things about it that got to be right. You know what I mean? Can't be too cargo, you were saying, Ali. So it's hard to find the right short.
Everybody got their best pair of shorts. Yeah. So what's your best pair of shorts
I got? A pair of American Eagle shorts that I like a lot. And I wore them. These are my favorite, dude. And I wore them and literally the whole hood was like, "Were you going golfing?" They got like a little like a plaid situation going on. I was like, nah. Oh, you know what I mean? Like
had the fuzzy zealous.
Yeah, but I was like, I like these, so forget I'm wearing them. I don't care what shoes. You know, you got to wear the right shoes. You got to have the socks. Your sock game got to be right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different.
What happened? You what happened?
Nah. I'm wearing my favorite shorts right now, but I think they kind of played. You know what I'm saying? I've got they camo.
Self-conscious, you know what about your shorts.
Yeah, I'm like, these might not be hit.
Yeah, is camo still cracking?
I know,
like,
camo still.
You don't look
legit.
Confident.
Cargo still cracking.
You don't look confident.
The camo still legit, but then the cargo pockets may be a little too fat. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know what's going
That's
on.
That's where I'm at.
You know what I'm saying? Then when you talk about the socks, right?
I
went and caught another pair of Vans, right? Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So when I get to the counter, they upsold me on, you know what I'm saying, you should get the no look socks. I'm like, all right, bet. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really pay attention to them. I just threw them in the bag. Then I came home and I threw them on. And you know what I'm saying? They work. They like, you know, the way they made is perfect. You know what I'm saying? But then I had a shoot. I had a shoot yesterday with
Here we go. I want to hear this.
I had a shoot.
Vulnerability.
With it was me, L, and Sada Ahmed from Everyday People.
Okay.
And so we were shooting her, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, she got the, you know,
Fashionable people.
And, you know, she got, you know, she Muslims and she got the no shoe house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we come in and take shoes. I didn't even think of what the fuck kind of socks I got on because I ain't used to even wearing these kind of socks. I didn't even remember I had them shoes on.
Oh, right.
And then it was like, what kind of shoes were you wearing who had those kind of socks on?
Oh, man.
There's some booties on.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, you know. You know what I'm saying? They weren't coming at me or for me. I just had to realize that I had on these newfangled ass.
Right.
Fangled.
Because without the shoes,
fangled.
He had the new sock reluctance. He didn't want to quit.
You don't look confident, brother.
Yeah. Your whole step is tentative.
Without the shoes.
Self-aware.
Like, in the shoes, you hitting because it looked like you ain't got on no sock. You good.
Right.
Without the shoes, it looked like you got on grandma. You know how grandma used to have them little,
little pom pom at the back.
Not the pom pom, but the little
like a hairnet,
the no look stocking. Like, right, it was like the same thing, but it was a stocking.
Oh, the shit! Like when you go try on shoes,
It looked like you got on them, but they white. These kind of look kind of weird without no shoes. So right. I had to kind of, you know, get used to it. I stuck my chest out like, yeah, I had bought these shit. Right here, you know what I'm saying? Also, motherfuckers, these motherfuckers work.
Also, for me, this is the other thing too. Like, you know, I'm light skinned. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
What happens is,
I'm gonna tell you why.
At least, so what happens is, like, my body don't get a lot of light outside my face and my forearms. So when I first break out the shorts, my legs is pale.
Got the young Conan O'Brien.
Oh, legs is pale. You know what I mean?
Conan.
Ha! Ha! Like two ghosts come out. Ha!
The Latino Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, man. Pale. So I gotta tan a little bit first.
You gotta go to DR to prepare
for
these legs
come out. So my calf game ain't too confident right now, Ali. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, shit.
So there's a lot going on with the shorts, man.
You gonna go hit a fucking tanning bed?
You gotta tan a little bit first. I gotta tan a little bit before I get to that point.
Hilarious.
So.
So you know, the summer, you know what I'm saying, starting off a little, you know, rough in the fashion department.
Which I think the summer always does that. I think the summer is always that moment where, like, your old tees from maybe the last summer, they might not fit how they used to fit.
You got the bacon lip.
Right, the shit look drunk in the
fangled neck.
Yeah, you gotta throw that type of shit out.
Throw that out.
Are you good at throwing out clothes? Because I'm not the
best. I've gotten better.
Yeah,
I've gotten better.
I'm tough. You good at throwing out clothes, Chris?
I mean, I won't pull the trigger on actually throwing it out, but I know there's like 20 t-shirts in my drawer that I'm just never going to wear anymore.
Right, right. But see, that's how I got in this position, man. I did a whole purge. Okay. And I broke my shit down damn near to a motherfucking uniform.
Yeah.
But that was in the fall.
Okay. Right. Man, but that was in the fall. Now you got to get your new season shit
coming around.
But that was in the fall.
You know what I'm saying? I got a whole new silhouette. Now my old my summer shit looking like 2001. Summer Jam 2. I'm trying to about to break out the jerseys.
Jerseys is back though. Not the big ass jerseys.
I need to go. I had to go get my shit altered.
Your jersey?
Not my jersey, but I had some pants with my favorite. I got some trousers I was calling them motherfuckers trousers. They so nice.
Yeah. Trousers.
You know what I'm saying? They're a nice pair of trousers.
Comfortable.
That I wanted to rock.
Right.
They was a little too loose and, you know what I'm saying, a little droopy.
Right.
I was like, oh, was looking, shit. Was looking.
Took them to the tailor.
I had to take them to the tailor.
I had confidence.
I haven't done that in years.
That shows investment.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, this is a good pair of pants.
You must have got self-esteem.
You must have got compliments in them pants. Listen, I can't throw out those shit that I got compliments.
What kind of pants are those?
I don't even know if
it's tough.
I don't know if I got compliments, but I know when I put them on, I feel rich.
Yeah. Oh, that's always great.
You know what I'm saying? So
feel like you're somebody.
That's a good, wealthy pant.
I like that Ali brought that up. I was going to jump in on the shorts thing. That's what I had to do last summer. They're still good, but I had to get shorts that were too big in the waist, so the length was good enough that I had them tailored to fit the waist.
Wow.
Otherwise, the ones that fit me were way too short above the knee. You know?
We are really a fashion-ass podcast right now.
It's hard being a...
I like the job. This is a vulnerable podcast.
Hey,
you're going to the tailor and all types of shit.
Hey, because you need to know, man. This is the summer of love, man. Absolutely. I got to come out right.
Yeah, man.
Well, hold on. Before we go get right back to the love, but let me do this real quick. Speak to the people. Wix.com. A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you could do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, or get all your social media in one place. Just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey, this is Joe List, and that's
Mark Norman here.
From Tuesdays with Stories, check out our podcast. Tell them why, Mark.
You're going to love it. It's nothing but laughs, jokes, stories from the road, vagina, and that guy.
Yeah, you're getting laid. We're being silly. Check it out. Find new and archived episodes of Tuesdays with Stories on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Hey, guys, this is Chris, one of the producers here at Stand Up New York Labs, and I'm telling you to go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. We're having a great time taking pictures of all the comics that come into the studio, recording podcasts, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You're missing out if you're not following us. You can see pictures of Jared Fried, Mark Norman, Joe List, Kurt Metzger. Who doesn't need more pictures of Kurt Metzger in their life? Go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. You're going to love it.
So, summer of love.
Yeah, man. You gotta do it right, man. You know what I'm saying? Gotta feel it, man. I gotta feel it. You gotta feel it all the way from, you know what I'm saying, from what you're thinking to what you're wearing, man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So what you're putting out there in the world, what you're creating, because it's all affected. You know what
so
I'm
what
saying?
You saying? What you seeing out here?
I'm just, what am I seeing as far
what
as what?
Just in general, some of love. Were you seeing anything some of love related that's been hitting content-wise that supports that theme?
Well, nah, because I ain't worried about the content no more. That was my problem in the beginning. I was worried, waiting for the content to hit me when I was supposed to be making the content.
Ah, I can
dig it. You know what I'm saying? So I gave up on waiting. You know what I'm saying? Drake dropped a new joint. You know what I'm saying?
And that didn't sound too love.
No, it wasn't too love. He switched the whole program. That's why I turned it off.
He went to the summer of petty.
As fuck.
Hey, Drake, yo, let me tell you something, man. I know you're not Johnny hip hop like that, but
I'm trying.
This 4 a.m. in Calabasas record,
mm-hmm.
when you get Drake upset, Drake is the most diabolical nigga to ever have beef with. He's so petty. He'll get under you, like, he'll give you a compliment. Because this 4 a.m. in Calabasas, it teeters on not even subs, but some mean darts, mm-hmm. but then almost like a homage And then it's a song that's like, you gonna dance to this. I'm gonna make you dance
to this. He gonna steal your whole formula.
Your whole au revoir.
And then tell you he gonna bump twice at Kris Jenner, not the rest of y'all.
Huh?
You ain't hear that line?
I caught that, but I don't understand what that means.
That mean that's the only motherfucker out here in Calabasas that I'm showing respect. Beep, beep. Wow. Rest of y'all, I'm driving right past.
Oh, I ain't even catch that part. Wow, wow, wow.
That mean Kris running this shit.
Yeah, man. Come on. She do.
Thank God for Rap Genius.
But I was catching all of that slander he was throwing Diddy's way.
Yeah, don't Diddy live out there too?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think I'm just rich L.A.
I know Dre. Dre was the first person I ever heard that lived in Calabasas.
Dre, Dr.
Dre.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So that's when I knew you had to have some paper.
Yeah, you had to have some paper. But
yeah. Going there soon.
Oh, well, that's
I got a friend that lives there. I'm going to go visit.
You're going to get some of that energy.
Yeah. I'm going to get some of that Calabasas
energy. You're going to get a pool bigger than Kanye.
You know what I mean? Swimming and dipping.
Yeah, man, that shit was petty. It was, and then see,
some ill lines on there. What you thinking?
And no, I'm just saying, like, but some of the lines you had to have listened to a lot of shit in order to catch. Like, it ain't like no darts from stuff you supposed to know.
It's like Jay-Z level.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I had to listen to a podcast, and then you had to listen to a, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like I guess he started off coming at Joe Buttons, but you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I ain't hear that podcast.
What was the line? I know, because I heard Joe Button actually talk about it before the record came out.
The first line when he first come out, you know what I'm saying? You self-promote as a janky, da-da-da-da-da. That's in reference to something Joe Button said.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? According to the Twitters.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, you know, with Drake, like, you had to really be listening to a lot of shit. You might be reading some...
It's like putting together a case.
Yeah, you got to
get testimony from all
over. Some research.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what does he mean right there?
Yeah, nah, he said some slick shit.
Yeah, you know, definitely use the Puffy formula to come at Puffy.
Can't nobody hold me down. Like, he said some fly shit. He kind of killed them off a little bit.
I'm going to make it dance to
But this. Let me ask, this is the question I got now. Is Puffy still up, though? Because
Puffy is up. Okay. Puffy is up. Puffy the man.
No, I'm not talking about up in general terms. I'm talking about between Drake and Puff. Because seems like what started this.
It was Puff slapping him upside the head.
Exactly. Now.
But. You know, after the fact, Drake went and reorganized his reinforcements.
He went to the gym. I saw he
went to the gym.
Picked up a weight or two.
He got Jay. Remember Jay Prince put out the message.
Right, you know what I'm saying, Puffy. Right.
You know what I'm saying? You touch mine, I'm going to touch yours.
Right.
He got the street, them Houston streets. You know what I'm saying? Gangster streets on him.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? Ever since then, he been popping that shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess, you know. Puffy has agreed maybe not to put hands on him, but he's going to have to do something.
But if you had some hands put on you and then you just put out a verse, it's a mean verse.
He's still down a little bit.
Yeah, he's still down. Because the only thing that's the fucked up thing that could happen is if the video was to come out.
But see, that's the whole
petty
thing.
Awards.
That's the thing. It was never seen.
Petty awards.
In the internet world, did it really happen?
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Did it really happen?
Oh, shit.
But Drake, no. Drake saved that verse for years.
He went home and wrote that verse with his other hand.
He was like, I'm saving this one for the perfect moment.
Motherfucker. Take that.
Take that. Okay. I got you.
Oh, shit.
Take this.
What else is going on with y'all, man?
When y'all texted me Noriega, his thing?
Oh, he got a podcast, The Drink Champs.
Yeah,
it's good. I like it.
I just saw his his promo where he dropped a verse speaking to his, you know what I'm saying, podcast, you know what I'm saying, fervor. His positioning. He came and take over this shit. You know what I'm saying?
They definitely playing it very competitive over there. A couple of them cats, they're going hard, you know.
You know what I'm saying? You know. Rap beefs in the podcast.
In the podcast realm, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
Some shit.
Hey, man, I'm with it.
Yeah. I tried to rap. I stopped. I couldn't do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had a little college beef one time.
What was your rap name?
I didn't have a rap name, but I put out, it was at Wesleyan, and some dude
that shit was smart.
No, I bought.
You would hope, right?
I bought an Elite velour suit.
I think you said
Yeah, you talked about this on the show. Yeah,
I think so. We'll talk about it again.
Yeah. Drop
I'm known
that
for that.
Shit.
I'm memory loss Vlad.
You got early onset Alzheimer's.
I'd bought him an E-Chain.
You was going to have a slow decline of Vlad?
I hope not, man.
Come on, man. Damn. Let's not put that on.
Did I do it?
I'm sorry, but come on, man. I'm not fucking putting a hex on him. Just, we making jokes here.
Vlad,
God
keep your
forbid.
Mind fresh. Keep your library card fresh. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's
get
all
you
about
some
that.
Post-it notes, maybe, you know just in case.
Eat good. You know what I mean? Eat good.
Post-it notes.
Just in case, nigga. You
don't get
point.
Out. Don't go out there and don't go out there and get into no street fights and shit.
Yeah, man. But guys, so you said Kimbo. You had your Nietzsche sweatsuit. You invested
and,
in the food.
It was too big for me, and they put a rap. They put a rap. They put someone put an MP3 out on me
about your big ass.
Swear to God.
Yo, we gotta hear that shit.
No, you don't
you
gotta
got
hear
it.
No,
please.
Don't put it out.
I was saying what
please
they said. This shit was too big.
It was too big.
At 11 comedy.
It was too big because I wanted to go buy it and then you have a smaller size, but I was so thirsty for this one. And it was too big for me. And I wore it with such pride.
Somebody came for you. How many bars?
It put like a nice, I think, 16 out.
Wow. Destroying you?
I mean, it was to the point where I went to a party.
They ain't playing
that. Well, no, the dudes showing me compassion. Like, I don't know why they would do that to you. Like,
oh,
you're such a good
that's
guy.
That's the worst L to take.
You're a good man.
That's the worst. I know how that feels. You don't want no pity after an L. You know what I mean? Let a nigga just let that L sink in. Let me take it by myself. I hear you. I know you've seen it. You don't need to tell me that. That was fucked up, dog.
And
you know?
I can't rap. I'm not a rapper.
So what you do to that sweatsuit?
I never wore it again.
You were sweatsuit chained.
Damn.
I wore it in parts. I wore the hoodie for one part, then I wore the pants for something else. Like, I would never wear it as a unit.
It was like the one, like that sweatsuit Drake had on in what work video. Oh, something hey, bigger.
Did I see it? I didn't see the work video.
Yeah.
I got to watch it.
It was almost a Nietzsche.
I think it was an OVO and Nietzsche spin or something.
And my mother told me, too. I put it on. My mother said, okay. You know, my mother gave me that look.
Damn.
And I should have known
so
right
you
then
you didn't even
there.
Get clearance at the mm-hmm. house. You could have yeah. all, this could have all been avoided had if you listened to your mother. Look at that.
And they put an look MP3 out on me. And I remember people saying.
They put an MP3 out on me.
Yeah, put an MP3 out
on me. What was the line, though? What was the line?
I mean, you know when you get trauma, you forget.
You know them lines.
I had it.
What was the hook?
Somebody dropped the line on my sweatsuit once. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't no rap, though. It was. I remember
the
line.
Thing, see?
So go line for line if y'all feeling it.
But,
like
but my sweatsuit was fresh.
Never mind. We can't have those,
but nah, yeah. But he was trying
it to. It hurts, man. It hurts.
Yeah, he was trying to clown me.
Okay. It's painful.
Because, you know what I'm saying? I was fresh.
Uh-huh.
And I had a little beef with this girl I was talking to at the moment. And we was at a little house party. And I had been trying to holler at this cheerleader chick for a minute.
Yeah. Mm.
And she was in this house
Persistence.
Party. And she, you know what I'm saying? She was showing me rhythm. She gave me a little, we was dancing on the dance floor and shit. And then, you know what I'm saying?
You had to see the dance. Did the dance.
This girl I was talking to, you know what I'm saying? Good, you know, she was, you know what I'm saying? She came up to me and poked me upside the head.
What? While you were dancing?
While I was dancing with the girl.
That's the aggressive float.
She was flirt. She was tight.
Oh, was this
was,
a girl you was dealing
yeah,
with?
I was, you know what I'm saying? I was already talking to.
Oh.
So she came and saw me dancing with the other girl, and she was tight.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So then, you know, we took it outside, you know what I'm saying?
You tried to not make a scene?
Yeah, we you know what I'm saying? We went on outside, and then...
What's wrong with you?
So she fussing back and forth. She fussing back and forth. Now, mind you, my sweatsuit, I had on a Jordan. It was a Jordan 3 sweatsuit.
All right.
Black with the elephant print on the collar.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? In the pockets. You uh-huh. know what I'm saying? That was my favorite joint. You
know what I'm uh-huh. saying? Yeah.
But what guaranteed happened? To get rhythm. So I'm out here trying to calm her down. And then some, you know, always some sideline niggas uh-huh. on the side uh-huh. sitting in the car. Uh-huh. Hey, you want me to tighten that nigga sweatsuit up?
Oh, man.
So what happens at this point?
Yeah, we just, you know,
saying,
mind your business.
Hey, the shit is effective.
But I love
it. Remember that shit 20 years later. Yo, I swear if we could do like a reenactment show, not even a reenactment show, but you know how they
trauma
got those shows. Not even a trauma reenactment, but you know how they got them shows where somebody don't really know how much they had an effect on somebody's life. That dude who was in that car would know. And 20 years later, that shit still resonates.
What makes me laugh is that in the middle of what Ali was going through, his brain said, what?
All this other huh? shit. Wait.
Yeah,
hold on.
What?
My nigga, I'm fresh as hell right now.
Nigga, I thought I had the glow.
Thought I got the glow, man. I got on. Three, huh? Guys, man, come get out of here.
What?
What was homegirl's reaction? Did she act like she ain't head or did she laugh?
She was just going in on me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That was the whole point, was to calm her down. She was going in.
Did you wear it again after that?
Nigga, I wore that shit for years after that. That's shit, if I had that shit today, I would break it out.
That shit's funny, man.
That shit was it was the first sweatsuit that I seen when they changed the logo from the wings to the Jumpman.
Right.
So I was famous from that sweatsuit.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying? This probably was year three on that sweatsuit already. Hilarious. See, that was back in the day where you could wear shit for 2-3 years.
There was no Instagram.
It was no, you know what I'm saying? As long as it was clean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the type of shit you take to the cleaners. You don't even wash.
Yeah.
You know what sneakers you rocked it with? Remember what you rocked it with?
Yeah, with the threes. You know what I'm saying?
With the fours.
I think I might have been in the fives at this point.
Yeah, the sixes,
with the
sevens, the eights.
You know what I'm saying? But you definitely rock it with the threes. You know what I'm saying? But that's when you all matched up. But I mean, I was fresh, man.
That was your favorite sweatsuit of all time?
Of all that one and my Fila sweatsuit that I wore on the FAMU trip.
Nigga, I had a Fila sweatsuit too. I had a Fila sweatsuit. I must have been like 10, 11. I had a Fila sweatsuit. My grandmother gave me some paper so I could get the Fila sweatsuit. And then but I didn't have enough paper to get the Filas to match. So I had some Jumps on. Now, Jumps, if you really know anything about fake Filas, it was a shoe out back in the day called Jumps. They looked just like Filas,
but they were not Filas.
You could get away from a distance, but when motherfuckers moved up on you. Later on, I did get some suede feelers, but I remember my grandmother was in the hospital. She was sick. She went in the hospital, and this was like Easter. This when I got it. I got it for Easter. I got you got the church outfit, and then you got your little after church, your fly shit. So we went to the hospital to see her after church. And I was like, hold on, I gotta be fresh. So I took off my church shit and put on my Easter shit. I just remember she's in the hospital bed, you know, recuperating. And I'm like, Graham, no, look at this. You know what I'm saying? She's like, oh, it looks nice. And I was into it, but you couldn't tell me shit. That was my favorite sweatsuit, man, a little velour piece.
Especially got that grandma love, too.
Yeah, because she paid for it. So she wanted to see what she bought.
Mm-hmm. It looks nice.
Yeah, you know. Grandma, that resonated generations.
Yeah.
What was your favorite sweatsuit? Was it the big boy? Was it the bigger Nietzsche? Was that your favorite? Until you got that EP, that MP3 put out on you. You made it sound like a hit. They put an MP3 out on you.
Well, I had so much enthusiasm about that Nietzsche. I remember because it was in college and I bought it that summer. I was like, I'm going to bring it out to, you know, on campus. I'm going to let people see what I got. And the pain of that rejection, the pain of that the fact that I got made fun of.
Yeah.
Because I stepped into it with so much enthusiasm.
Right, yeah.
And the MP3 is easily distributed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So it's getting passed around.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Went viral on campus.
But man. You also said, what you said you those? Wrote a, you did you write a response
I wrote,
record?
I think I wrote a response record. I can't remember, though.
You know if you, you wrote a response record. You just know it wasn't hot.
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't recall.
I'm not
but
sure.
My Alzheimer's is kicking in.
Of course. You got selective Alzheimer's.
I think I remember, but I remember...
Josh, you know what?
I remember.
He only remember the wins, not the losses. That's the best Alzheimer's to have. You know what? I only remember successes. I never remember any failures.
Even when you suffer losses, we still count the victories.
Exactly.
No, I just remember I'm trying to remember. I was on campus and I remember, man, that sweatsuit. I can't remember.
Right. Okay.
But I remember that my reputation saved me, though.
Okay.
Okay.
He ended up apologizing to me.
Your reputation.
What was your reputation
you?
For? What?
I was a good dude on
whooping
campus.
Whooping ass.
I was smart. So the dude ended up apologizing to me.
Oh.
He was like, glad it was undeserved. Like, I apologized.
Oh. So he dissed the good
this
guy.
This is Wesleyan
and
shit.
Knocked, yeah. Nice. And knocked your glasses.
Yeah,
because
I ain't deserve it. I was known for being a good dude. I was a good guy.
So he struck first.
He struck first. And
so he was like Meek Mill.
Yeah, no, people couldn't understand why. Like, why are you coming for Vlad?
Why is he so aggressive at Wesley? Well, let me ask you a question. How was he as a rapper? Did his rap career go anywhere? Do we know him?
Oh, okay. Wesley and Meek.
Exactly.
And that was my thing. I remember calling my brother up, and I was like, dude, we in a selective campus.
Right.
We worked hard to get here, and you making battle raps? Like,
Where was he from? Was with it at first. You was trying to respond.
He just didn't have that response. If you'd have had a better response.
Now you want to go back to the, we're here on campus, you want to come and be with some bachelor?
Which is the sign of hurt.
This is college.
Yes, that's a sign of being hurt.
The fact that he came to apologize to you, that kind of suggests you were hurt. Beyond.
I was hurt.
The fact yeah. that you, there's a lot of hurt in this story.
There's pain.
There's people that come up to you and was like, yo, Vlad.
There's pain.
He did you wrong. There's a lot of that.
Hurt.
The motherfucking actual assailant said, you know what, Pop? I went too far.
There's pain.
Damn.
Oh, man.
And you don't remember none of these bars.
It's my boy, Hatir. I'd say his name was Hatir.
Oh, you remember his name. But
he's my friend. He's
and
my
you,
boy.
You remember the line. You just don't want to tell us.
You might as well tell us now.
You know the line.
I don't know the line.
Hatir, why don't you forward over that MP3?
We're going to post it.
He apologized. He's like, you know, I'm sorry.
Damn.
You know, he apologized. Because I was a good dude. I was a good dude. And now people were like, why? People literally were like, why did you come for Vlad?
He was a good dude. He's a good dude.
I was a good guy. You know what I'm saying? People were like, why would you come?
He was a good man.
Yeah.
What constitutes good?
I was super respectful, always had a kind word for people. I was always there to help somebody.
You ain't never cussed nobody out?
Never cursed nobody out.
You never had an argument?
I had one argument in college.
Say, motherfucker! You ever had a fight?
Oh, several fights.
That's not good.
You ain't started a fight, though.
Always in self-defense. I was in self-defense. And,
You ever mess with a dude, girl?
I've never done that.
Mm.
Never.
Dude ever mess with your girl?
No. No,
nobody?
No.
You ain't never lived. Go live life.
No, I was always particular about asking that question.
Uh-huh. What's the question?
The question is like, are you seeing other people? Where you at right now? I've always had very open conversation about that.
Stopped you?
No, I don't like, for me personally, I'm not comfortable in those situations where there's like multiple, like things are still being open to navigation.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know that.
But it's college.
Navigation or penetration?
No. But college navigation. Is for navigation.
Well, in college, I was very particular about, because college, you know, people gossip, they talk.
Yeah, that's real life too. That's the whole point.
If you let them talk about this. And this is not shaming. It was on both sides.
Go ahead, talk.
If a girl was messing multiple dudes or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
I was shy about getting involved with that person.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Because at the time I had performance anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and people were gossiping.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people.
So it wasn't. It was more so.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm hoping about that. I don't want a bad review.
Right.
I didn't want a bad review.
This is the vulnerable show.
Yeah, man.
We out there.
This is it. Because even with the vulnerability.
Yeah. Because even on the opposite side of the fence, when a dude gave good performance, that would get around too.
Right.
Yeah, that's the point.
You know, so and so giving that good, yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah.
On the other side, you know, uh-huh. I remember one time, the true story. I'm sitting at the campus center. True story. And I'm casually sitting there having a sandwich, and these two girls are talking, and they go, "So and so got small balls." Just literally out there like that. I was like, I had to stop eating my sandwich.
That's random, though.
That's just girl talk.
You know what I'm saying?
But I was like, damn, I don't want my balls out there like that.
That don't affect nothing.
It doesn't. But it was like that's the level of conversation they were having. These, you know, they trying to explore themselves too.
That's a good time.
That's a great time.
Yeah,
it's college.
But you know,
Well, whatever. Fuck it.
You know,
sometimes it happens.
Anyway,
small balls.
I'm not ashamed though. I'm living my life. I've been hurt. So what?
Well, this was a great episode. This was a tender moment.
This is a great episode.
Well, listen, let's get out of here. How about we tell the people where they could find us?
Want to hold hands and say a prayer?
No, sir. Not after the ball talk.
We're gonna be cool. We made it through. I think it was good. Shout out. Rest in peace to Kimbo Slice too. You know, he died.
Passed away. Yeah,
he
very
passed
sad.
Away as well. You know.
Miami legend.
Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Parting words. Where can they find you?
I will be at Webster in New York, at Webster Comedy Club in Rochester, New York this weekend, Thursday to Sunday. And then I'll be at the Denver Improv next week.
Oh, shit.
Thursday to Sunday. And then I'm back in Los Angeles. But yeah, we good.
VLAD.
No doubt.
Where you going to be at?
Man, I'm going to be up and down all around BK. All right. You know what I'm saying? Manhattan doing these meetings. I'm in meeting mode right now. I'm trying to go from, you know what I'm saying, from something to something better.
I dig that.
So I'm out here fishing, hunting, mm-hmm. and gathering. So you can catch me somewhere in these streets. Follow on the snap. Thorough TV.
All right. That's what's up.
You should probably go before Ali, because Ali's is very like, that's the end of the show.
It is what it is.
What you mean? That's the end of the show. Right?
I'm going to be where I be.
I'm saying I ain't got no shows.
It's cool and invasive. Listen, I'm going to be where I be in the place to be on the 1, 2, 3, and you already can see.
Listen, I ain't getting booked. If y'all want to book me, you know what I'm saying? Booking at Gmail, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Book me. Let me get some shows then. Shit. And I could have some place to be.
There you go. Other than
my regularly scheduled program.
Thorough TV. Yeah, I'm going to be at the Comedy Cellar tomorrow night on the midnight show. I'm also at the Stand tomorrow on the 8 o'clock show, so check that out if you're in New York City.
Well, today, right? Today.
Yeah, tonight. Right. Tonight, so midnight and 9 p.m. 9 p.m. The Stand, midnight or 11:30 at Comedy Cellar. What else we got? I'm at Stand Up New York on a good Monday on the 8 o'clock show. And beyond that, I'm in these streets. Like this man would say, I'm in the streets, but as always,
tell a friend.
To tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.